Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fadero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets. As if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 194. Six away from 200, right?
Yeah.
That 5, 96, yeah. 97.
Wait, 8, wait. 9, I need 9, two hands. 200. I need 2 hands. Yes. Very close.
Here, as always, with the feverish Fanero.
What up, what up, what up?
Also, as always, FF underscore spaceman.
Hey, yo. I'm seeing 200.
Up, guys.
I'm seeing 200 in the horizon. It's getting exciting.
When should we release this to the listeners? Do you think that they should hear it as early as Tuesday? Or should we make them wait all the way till Friday when we normally release our show?
I don't know.
They're going to know how you decided this right now.
I think you give
Are
it to them.
Are you going to make them wait?
I think I'm going to make them wait, but they're still going to get it a day early. Get that little like, ooh, Thursday. I wasn't expecting this until Friday, but I got it Thursday. Very nice.
That might be a fair bonus. Dave, are you okay with that? I mean,
I was going to give my like my voice.
Knowing that they could have had it as early as Tuesday.
I'm telling you, I was going to get my narrator voice out, and I was going to talk really deep and sexy-like and just say, hey, if you want to listen to this now, proceed. But if you want to wait until Friday, wait till, you know, pick your story kind of thing.
Yeah, or we could put it up Tuesday and then take it down.
I'm looking while they're listening it.
I don't know. I'm looking long term. If we give it to them too early this week, then they're going to have a longer wait till next week. So I think just give them the one day.
So we're back. We're always here for the long term, looking at it dynasty. But again, we're doing some short term stuff this week. But we're going to go into how the running backs and the quarterbacks are going to do and who we're liking for that. And just like we allow the listeners to pick when we're going to release the show, we're also going to let them pick what we're going to talk about right now. And I think you're right, Feverish. They picked the running backs. They want us to start with the running backs.
Yeah, they always do. I mean, isn't that more fun?
I don't know. I was conflicted at the beginning when we were talking about it before we hit record, and I don't know if it is. I think I could find equal fun parts with both of these positions, and I think that I might even lean to the quarterback side this year.
Nice. Then we'll tease them with the quarterbacks.
I don't know. Does either one have a drive-by type scenario? I don't think there's going to be enough fun compared to last week. So, you know, it's tough.
Oh, man.
Drive-by.
We could maybe have like a Davis Mills drive-by.
I'm going to do a Trask drive-by.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, Dave. What running back should we start with?
Before we go into 2021, let's recap what the 2020 running backs looked like. We had two RB1s, four, yes, count them, four RB2s, and Cam Akers.
And Cam Akers.
Yeah, who wound up finishing as an RB4 honorable mention. So James Robinson, RB6, Jonathan Taylor right behind him at RB7, Antonio Gibson missing games, RB13, DeAndre Swift, RB18, CEH 22 hanging in there with the RB2s, and J.K.
Swift
Dobbins.
More games than
Gibson. Should have mentioned that as well. He absolutely
especially
did.
With me here.
He also had we'll say a late start. They certainly didn't throw him into the mix on day one. J.K. Dobbins, RB24, rounding out the RB2s, and Cam Akers finishing RB45.
And that's not bad for the amount of time that he missed and then coming back slow from that injury.
And a lot of the buzz with Cam, or a lot of the value with Cam is the playoffs that really aren't in these statistics at all showed up there too.
Yeah. Yep. But Dave doesn't care about that. Dave doesn't even care about week 17, let alone the playoffs.
Yeah, this is very true.
And what are playoffs? I don't know about them in fantasy football or in the real NFL.
Dave, I know that's not true because I beat you in the playoffs. And I like to talk about this, but we have to know that you were in the playoffs.
Oh, that's true. I must have thought it was best ball. Legacy, that's the only way, dude. I didn't mess that up. That's an
important part of my legacy.
That's true.
It's on his resume. Fantasy resume. I
just added it to my resume, though. It's new.
Nice.
Dave. To the Dave, to the Dave.
Dave, is there going to be an RB1 in this class?
Yeah, this year I do have Najee Harris finishing as a low-end RB1. Yeah. So, and he's my first guy that I would, for this year, that I have Najee Harris. So, not like a far and above Travis Etienne, but yeah, I'm pretty happy. I have him, you know, whenever I start with these projections, I zoom out, I look at the team overall, and just Pitt led the league in neutral passing situation, like neutral game situations in pass rate. And I think that's going to come down. I think that defense, I don't think it might not be as good as that next year, but overall, I think there's just going to be more rushing involved, even though the offensive line isn't going to be necessarily better. So I think there's going to be, Najee Harris is going to get a decent size workload. I mean, James Conner still had 13 attempts per game last year. Snell had 7. So it's not like they didn't run the ball at all. So conservatively, I have Harris around 15 attempts per game, right around 1,150 rushing yards, 9 to 11 rushing touchdowns. And then right around 40 receptions for the season with almost 20 receiving yards. So then 3 TDs. So essentially 15.6 PPR points per game, which makes him a low end RB1. Because he can do it all. Everyone's talked about it. He can do it all. He can handle the load. He can catch the ball. Big Ben is very adept at passing it out in the flat. He showed that with Le'Veon Bell. It's tough to find any concerns with Najee except for efficiency concerns, but the volume always trumps that. So yeah, Najee Harris.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with. How many carries? Like 300?
255 carries. So I feel a little low overall, but I'm still convinced that they're going to have trouble running the ball. So they're with those weapons at wide receiver, they're still going to be able to throw it. And the way they use Juju, they're still going to be able to use him as almost like part of the running game. So yeah, 255, probably might be a little conservative, but I still think Benny Snell gets some work. I still think, you know, some of the other players in that backfield get some work. It's not going to be like a Zeke or a Derrick Henry situation where he totally dominates the backfield.
So if you have Najee Harris, are you interested at all in going to throw a third or fourth out there to add Snell to your team?
For me personally, no, just because we saw like kind of how that team did last year.
I feel like maybe I'd like Snell, no.
Yeah. See, if I was as witty as you are, that's the problem.
Well, I don't Snell, know if I would have nailed it either. I don't know if I would have got that one. Just Snell, no. Can I get a Snell yeah from you, Feverish?
I mean, I'll do a fourth. I mean, I don't value fourth very much. So if I have Harris, I'll do a fourth.
I might give a fourth for almost anybody, even Will Ford. Yeah,
kind of. Oh, wow. That's saying a lot. I have Najee Harris as my RB14, just outside the RB1 area. I think he's going to get 300 touches, but I think it's going to be a combination. I think Dave sees the same thing. It's going to be a combination of catches. I have more catches, actually. I have him with 68 targets in his rookie season for 52, and only 233 in the carries department. I think that's just me reflecting the O-line. So I just gave a little bit more to the passing game, I think, than you did, Dave. And I took it away from his rushing game just because I think that could be a little bit of a struggle, at least in the beginning part of the year. So still a fantastic season. And if he's an RB14, he can just as easily be a back end RB1, like you said.
And so is he your highest ranked rookie as far as perceived finish?
Yeah. Yeah, I knew that coming in that he was going to be that. I was a little surprised by some of these other ones after looking at the depth chart, who was on their team, how often they run the ball, who they share the ball with, how their tendencies are to incorporate other running backs and not just go with one. Like by the time I added that all up, I was a little surprised by some of these names. And I think you're not going to like me at the end of this episode, but sorry.
That was an assumption that I liked you before. I could definitely see Najee Harris being the one to finish the RB1 from this class, though. I feel like I'm a little bit more on on the Dave side with this one, but I know you're, it's not like you freaking hate the guy.
No,
but I think he could easily be within that, you know, after, and this is after all the injuries that are going to happen to,
sure,
we don't know who yet, and good and bad things. Like, I could see him being in that RB 8 to 12 range.
It's just so hard when you look at who you have to knock out to make that happen.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, that, like, when you do projections, if you don't look at the other names, it's so hard to give a number.
Is it right in front of you, Fanero?
Are
you
I have eight, not my projections. I have a couple different ones in front of me. I mean, you got, you know, CMC, Dalvin Cook, Kamara, Henry. I mean, they're all above them, right? Aaron Jones could be a debatable thing. Saquon Barkley, Nick Chubb, absolutely. Taylor, Mixon, Elliott, I like a lot this year. And now you start getting into this area where he could creep in. Like Cam Akers, I don't know about that. I think Najee Harris could have more volume.
There. Yeah.
I'm not taking Najee Harris over Swift. I think
Swift is going to have so much pass value this year.
Yeah, and I have like people like Gibson, who was a high-end RB1 last year, missing time. I have him, or was he? Let me go back. Sorry. I want to make sure I'm right about that. No, he was he was RB13, kind of where I have Harris now, just last year missing games, and I don't have him ahead of Harris. You know what I mean? All those names really push you down into thinking. I mean, I think the range is right where Dave and I have it, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I think the highest he can probably maintain without injuries to the top 10 running backs is 10, 9, 10, 9, 10. I'll do 9, 10. And I think he could fall all the way down to about where I have him, 14, 15 area. And it wouldn't be saying much. I mean, there's a really good running backs ahead of him.
So, Dave, you mentioned that you have ETN very close to Najee Harris.
Relatively. I mean, I have ETN more as a high-end RB2, like a point per game separates them, or maybe just like 0.9 points per game. But I mean, I expect Travis Etienne to be a little bit more efficient, less carries per, like more like 12 to 13 attempts per game kind of thing on the ground, just over 1,000 rushing yards. But that's with the extra game factored in. So to clear that 1K mark and 6 to 8 TDs. So not... So whereas he does not have that rushing TD volume, at least I don't think, anyway, especially with James Robinson there. James Robinson is very good on the goal line. A little bit bigger than Etienne. So you'd see that you'd expect Harris to be dominant on that goal, on the goal line. Whereas they might be a little more exploratory with like if Chenault, if Harris, I mean, if Etienne, if, you know, if they try to get a little bit crazy on the goal line with the Jacksonville. So I don't see necessarily the rushing touchdown volume for ETN.
I think this is the one I'm going to get in trouble a little bit for. I do have ETN there as well, Dave, high end RB2. But what I did was, and this is just a hypothesis, but I feel like they're going to run the ball with Robinson. I feel like I'm with Swags a little bit there. I don't think he's going away. In fact, I think that he's going to kind of lead the team in carries. And I only gave ETN 135 carries on the season.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But this is what I did that I think is going to be a little bold. I gave him 92 targets, dude. 92 targets. And he has 70 catches. So we're going to run for 6, and he's going to catch the ball for another 6 and have 7 total touchdowns. So that's where he gets into that RB2 areas. I give him a lot of pass volume. I think, and I don't know why, but I think they're just going to match up the talents on the field well and just do what both do very well. I'm not saying that ETN can't run between the tackles. I think he can, but I think they also want to respect Robinson. And I think Robinson obviously proved that he can do just that. Robinson also can catch the ball. I'm not going to lie, but I think this is how they pacify both of them and make them both feel like an integral part. I could see them supporting each other all season long, being happy for each other all season long. They're two young guys, and I think this is how they do it. I think one guy really gets involved in the passing game.
What about LaVisca Chenault?
Well, I mean, every team has wide receivers. I mean, what about Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara? I hate everyone calling ETN Alvin Kamara, but he had over 100 targets in his rookie season, and he didn't even play the whole season. I just think this is bold. I know that. I 92 targets is crazy. That's more or less calling him, you know, a repeat of Alvin Kamara's rookie season. Alvin Kamara's rookie season was much better. He had 81 catches for 826 yards and 5 touchdowns in the air alone. And another,
I mean, dude, that's a very like great neighborhood to be. I mean, Barkley had 89 receptions, and that's the rookie record.
Yeah,
for a running back.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, Kamara had 81. I have him at 70. It's bold.
I think, too, it's important to remember, too, we have to remember Jacksonville was a very pass-happy team last year because that defense was terrible. Now, I think Urban Meyer, as much as he can, because I don't think the defense got a whole lot better in Jacksonville. But Urban Meyer's going to make this team, I think he's going to want to make it as much as possible, a much more run-heavy offense. He's going to make it much more balanced. So I think that is going to allow, that's why I have Etienne up there at 13, but I think I still do have James Robinson leading the team in carries as well, Finero. I just think it's, you know, I'm expecting like almost 30 carries per game from this team, I think.
I think they're actually a really nice match, those two.
Did you guys, when you guys say, you said a high-end RB2?
I have him as RB19. It sounds like Dave has him as RB13.
Yeah, like anywhere like 12 to 4, like 13 to 15 kind of thing.
Yeah.
But also, too, with that kind of efficiency, there's always the possibility that he gets a boom. Like, you know, if you're being that efficient, who knows if they give you the hot hand, but then the same thing as James Robinson. It's tough to say that because James Robinson, if he gets the hot hand, he could cut into it, too. So it's just, it's an interesting dynamic you've got going on here in Jacksonville.
I think with some of these projections, you know, it's obviously not like even throughout the year. I'm not taking his 135 carries and dividing by 16 and saying, okay, that's what he's going to get every week. I think some of this, especially with rookie running backs, we saw it all of last year, or Swift, it took forever. Dobbins, it took forever. It just felt like Cam Akers, I know some of his situation was injuries, but it just felt like we were waiting a really long time for these rookie running backs to like really get the rock. So I don't really see it any different other than Najee Harris. I just don't, you know what I mean? Like Najee Harris is just going to get the ball day one and it's going to be all day. After that, you are kind of guessing when these guys are going to get a bigger workload. And I think, you know, the next guy on my list is the one I'm really less certain about.
So before we go there, I think for me, the thing with ETN too, though, and then when we're comparing these guys to last year and say like Antonio Gibson, yes, he was RB13. He had a great rookie season. I can't say otherwise, especially with what I'm going to say next, but he wasn't consistent at all. And that wasn't the next part. The next part is this. To me, if a rookie running back finishes between RB18 and RB24, I'm happy. I think those should be closer to our expectations, and obviously we have high hopes, and especially for their futures, but a lot of times we don't see them to really start to get their workloads until the end of the season.
Yep.
With Antonio Gibson, it actually was the reverse. He got injured and then he never got his opportunity share to go back up to where it was before he was injured. He had never had another touchdown. It all just kind of faded away. Whereas the guys like Dobbins, Akers, Swift, we saw those workloads go up. Anyway, I feel like to project Harris, I oddly feel better about, but to project anybody after that as much more than RB18, I feel like it's almost like an outlier of just expecting them to have huge hits in their first season. Just from watching this and watching rookies, even before we were doing Rookie Fever, like RB18, I think would be a really good season for any rookie running back, not even to put a name on it. You know what I mean?
I totally agree.
For me, when it gets to like Travis Etienne, I think for me to see him at RB13, like that's a freaking awesome season for a rookie running back. And it's almost an outlier. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I felt more comfortable with the 19 that I have him at. And it was one of those things where, again, like when you're projecting, like you have to put names above these names. You can't just like arbitrarily say, OK, I'm going to call this guy an RB8 and not know who's right in front of him and not know who's right after him. So when you're looking at names and you're sorting and you're trying to do this, like 19 felt... It felt optimistic. I'm not going to lie. It did. It felt optimistic. Like I could totally see him finishing at 24, 28 area. And that's because I'm giving him all that pass volume that I think would be not historic, but an outlier in and of itself. I think to get 92 targets your rookie season with somebody alongside of you, I can't remember, but Robinson, I think, caught like 35, maybe 38 balls last year. I mean, must have gotten 50 targets.
And it was a pretty decent percentage, too, if I remember right. I mean, he did pretty well. And that's another thing, too. And I'm not trying to be snarky or like hate on Travis Etienne. I think he's going to be successful. I think he'll have a good season. Like, I like him in that RB 20 area to finish. But I don't know. I guess like, and again, I'm not trying to be snarky, but are we expecting some kind of like Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram type season here? Because I just don't think James Robinson is going away. And I know I've kind of been the voice for him, but I just don't think he's going away.
Yeah, we both have, both Dave and I in our projections have him out touching him and having more yards rushing. I think they can complement each other well, like I was saying earlier. I really do. I think that could be something where...
I agree.
They could help each other. It doesn't have to be like, it doesn't have to be this thing where one consumes the other so much that they're not viable.
So I was just, after Swags, after you said you felt what you felt like a good RB season is for these rookie running backs, I just went into my NFL database. I did a quick search since 2009, and I did a quick search. So any running back who has a top 12 season on their resume since 2009 in their rookie year, now this is all, this is like undrafted free agents, everyone, their average rank was 30 or 33, like overall, right around that area for an overall PPR finish. Now, if I filter for draft capital and first rounders, it goes to like 19, I think. I'm just off the top of my head, it was the 19 range. So you're right around there. That average that you're talking about is right where you were saying. So I don't think you're off by saying that by any means. So just kind of a little historical throwback for anyone, just to give you a little bit of data behind what you were saying.
If Swags has a database in his
it's weird.
Go ahead. And just to kind of wrap up too, I think Finero does mention it does get a little misleading when we're just talking about overall finishes for these running backs, because what it does happen is you notice with these running backs, especially these rookies, it builds as the season goes on. And that's kind of why we see why some people have Akers listed ahead of Swift, because it's that recency bias. And also too, that kind of, they get more of that offense and that last part of the season, they start being less like rookies and they kind of know they fit into a role and stuff too. So maybe Etienne does kind of start out slow and maybe Robinson does have a majority of that backfield early on. It'll be interesting how it develops too as it goes on. It's just there's a lot that goes into a season than us just looking at overall finishes as well too. Like injuries, like you guys were mentioning too. So there's Etienne, a lot to it.
I feel like we have to expect a lot of pass volume for him to reach those numbers.
Yeah.
Or a James Robinson injury.
Yeah, I think one pass volume and efficiency. It's got to be both.
Yep. Is we got to get off ETN. Is he the best pass catcher to come out since, like, say, Swift or Barkley? That's the things I'm seeing that tossed around a little bit.
Since Swift? I mean, that was since last year.
right. So let's say Barkley.
Yeah. I'll let Finero talk. I have to actually think about this for a second.
I don't think he's in Barkley's class, but it's kind of talking out both sides of my mouth when I say that, because if he's going to get 92 targets and 70 catches, I think that's just going to how he's just going to be used. But I don't think it's going to be, you know, ETN in the slot. Let's put it that way. I think you could do a lot more with Barkley and Kamara than you'll be able to do with ETN. But I think ETN is going to be in my projections kind of fed in that way. For balance, maybe, so both backs can be on the field at the same time, et cetera. Things like that, where I just feel like Barkley and Kamara don't need
anything. You guys remember getting excited about Rashad Penny?
Kind of remember that?
A little bit.
Well, with that being said, dude, and I know we got to get off the ETN thing, but I remember being excited about Jacobs and his pass-catching abilities. I remember that. I remember after him not getting his fair share in the first season, predicting that he would get like a ton more in the second season. Didn't happen. So to assume,
but he was still RB8.
But I'm just saying, like, the way I'm assuming this rookie is going to have like that. That's just, you know, the more I stare at it, the more the numbers look wrong. But
just to answer Swag's original question. Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine.
Just to answer your original question. ETN is not the best pass catching back in this class. So no, that, the answer is incorrect.
Harris
in this class.
No. What's his face from Memphis is better.
Gainwell
is a better pass catching back than ETN. A better pure receiver. Let's just say that.
News and noise in the air that Javonte Williams could be starting week one. You guys buying that?
I saw that. So for me, and I did see that, and it was after I did my homework, and I did flirt with some of the numbers, but the bottom line is Denver likes running a couple backs. That's kind of their MO. Lindsay was getting plenty of carries last year. I think he had 120 carries to Gordon's 215, and then Freeman and Locke wrapped it up with another 79. But I don't really see anything different. It's just, when does Williams take over? Week one was a beat writer. I just don't know how he knows that this early. I don't think the coaches know that this early. So like that for me, I don't want to call it clickbait because I don't know the guy, but it's, you know, we all read it and we all saw it. I don't know who remembers his name. I did make sure it was a name because depending on what platform you got it from, it just said beat. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's just going to be a split, and I think it's going to be, I originally had it like a J.K. Dobbins scenario where you were going to be waiting and waiting and waiting. And now I kind of beefed it up a little bit and thought, okay, well, maybe we're not going to wait that long. And it's not based on just the beat writer, but just the fact that I do really like Javonte Williams, and he's not the future of that team. So
same. So Javonte Williams or Travis Etienne for 2021.
I guess I'll go in and I'll say, I think it's Travis Etienne. I don't think what
in you said, who Dave, sorry,
Travis Etienne, that receiving volume is going to be the key. I think Javonte Williams gets more volume. I mean, more rushing volume.
Yep.
He gets more rushing touchdowns quite possibly, or actually I think I have him as the same in rushing touchdowns actually. But I, to be honest, guys, I don't trust Vic Fangio or whatever the heck his name is to make the right decisions. I don't. I do not trust that he makes the best decisions for his teams. I could very easily see him giving Melvin Gordon veteran deference because he's a defensive mind. He's the football guy and, you know, veterans first. I think that's how I kind of envision him. Now, do I think that he will? I don't know, but I just wouldn't be surprised if he didn't. So that's kind of me waffling there. But overall, though, I just think that he won't get as valuable touches. And the thing that you need Javonte Williams to do is to score a lot of touchdowns for him to get more than ETN. But Melvin Gordon's going to be there getting, I think, just as much goal line work. So that's the real crux of the argument. And so that's my issue with but that being said, I like Javonte Williams this season. I think there is room for him to grow a lot. And I might be too low on him as a low end RB2. But I'm there's a lot to like about him, especially if he gets a little bit more receiving upside than we think, if that offense is more efficient than we think. And who knows, there's still whispers about Deshaun Watson heading to Denver. That's still a possibility. It's getting more, the more time goes on, the less likely it becomes. But even if Drew Lock is the same, Courtland Sutton coming back, Jerry Jeudy making an efficiency step in year two, that offense is going to be better than it was last year, you'd think. So that would be good news for Javonte Williams coming in there.
So, but you trust Urban Meyer?
No, I just trust Javonte. I just trust how Etienne scores his points more through on, like, from a PPR fantasy standpoint, like in his talent and draft capital. Like, there's not a lot in the overall picks, but saying like, hey, this is my second first round rookie. I'm a new coach. I'm going Etienne. I think there's a little bit more indication with that.
I agree with you. I think they'll finish close, and I think that they'll probably do it similarly to the way you said. I don't think that Williams will have as much pass volume as ETN will, but I think he could be very viable on the ground very quick. I think he could walk into that room day one just being fresh, being the best running back on the team. And I still kind of think Melvin Gordon will start, though, but I think Williams is going to get the load. That's kind of how I have it. But I could see Williams in that, like, 1,000 to 1,200 yard area year one. Ooh. Yeah.
I have him with 50 more carries than ETN, over 200 yards more rushing, 5 touchdowns. But then, as Dave was saying, way low on the pass volume. I only have him with 19 catches for 150, 160 yards.
And I kind of agree with that 5 touchdowns, though, even if he gets the yards and the carries.
Yeah,
I kind of felt right.
Yeah. And I could see him getting 7. That's felt high, but yeah. But, you know, that put him on, again, looking at all the other running backs, that, you know, those numbers put him at RB26. So just outside of RB2. But this is tough. We're going to bring this up with quarterbacks, too. Is this, when do they start? You know, and even if Javonte Williams, quote unquote, starts, like the beat writer says, like, when is he getting the bulk of the carries? That's really the question with these guys, except for Najee Harris.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the one player on this entire thing.
So does Trey Sermon finish above either of these running backs outside of Najee Harris?
Trey Sermon is number 5 for me out of 5.
Number 5 in the way he finishes the season.
Correct.
So that must mean you have Michael Carter ahead of Trey Sermon, and we already know that Dave forgot about Trey Sermon. So let's start with Michael Carter. I've got to hear this.
So they're neck and neck. They're very, very close. And the reason I have Michael Carter above Trey Sermon is I feel like there's a lot less in front of Michael Carter. I know we like to just assume Mostert's going to get hurt, or that he won't be here next year, or I don't know, any number of different reasons why he won't
have. He's 29 and was on
five
teams.
But we're talking
an NFL touch.
But there's a difference between
in and out of games. And
Yep. This is the difference between what we're doing right now, which all I have to worry about is 2021. And I think there's enough to worry about. Again, I said they're neck and neck. With Michael Carter, I don't really see where the argument is, to be honest. I just really don't see anybody else there. And Jeff Wilson might miss 6 games and be back too. It's another football player in the way. I think that also San Francisco likes to use multiple guys. And like, I've heard the argument multiple times that, well, it's because they haven't had a back like Trey Sermon yet. Now they won't use multiple guys. It's possible.
You're telling me, hold on. You're telling me that they like to rotate to a different running back every game.
No, I said they like to use multiple guys.
But they almost on a weekly basis, they have a viable running back, and then other ones that kind of take away some touches, and then that viable running back gets injured, and then the next week they have another viable running back for a couple weeks, and then Mostert comes back. Yep.
Sounds a lot like what New England did for years, right? Like, you didn't know which one to start. Does that sound like a guy that is do you know what I mean? Does that sound like a starter to you? Like, no. I think it's a similar thing. I think it's gonna piss fantasy players off that Trey Sermon's not getting the rock enough for us, and San Francisco's not gonna give 2 shits about us.
I just don't agree.
Okay, I told you weren't going to like me at the end of this episode, didn't I? And then your answer was I knew you wouldn't like this. It's very, very close. RB35 and RB38 is where I have them. They're very, very tight. And a lot of people have Trey Sermon as an I would argue probably an RB2 this year, right? 24, somewhere in that range.
I mean, RB3 would at least give you a meh emoji, like.
He can finish as an RB3. I'll give him that.
Face emoji.
He can absolutely finish at 36. I can give him that.
So, but I guess my point is, when I was talking about the San Francisco running backs and the stamp we put on them that they like to use multiple running backs, I just don't think it's the same as New England, because I think what they really do is just kind of play whoever they have to, because they have a lot of guys, whether it was Breda, Mostert, Jeff Wilson, these guys that are constantly injured. They're not sharing the load.
You know who has constant injury history already is Trey Sermon.
He does.
coming in to an RB backfield with plenty of injury problems comes Trey Sermon, who also struggled to stay healthy in college.
I just don't think any of them have shown us as much as we make it sound like they have. Like, I mean,
that's fair enough.
Has a 1,000-yard career. Those guys have like 600-700-yard careers, and we act like they're putting up 1,000 to 1,200 yards.
I think that's totally fair to say that, you know, that they, the what they've been able to do. Maybe it's been overblown because it's been in spurts. But I don't know what Trey Sermon can do either. People assuming that he is the, you know, I mean, look where he was drafted. I mean, I
they
can't
moved up to get him.
Yeah, that's fine. I can list. We did a whole episode last year on players that, you know, or Asiasi was moved up for New England. Everyone started liking him at tight end for New England because they moved up. They got rid of significant draft capital. It was a third and a fourth to move up to get him. I mean, people move up. It means they want them. It means they don't want them. I mean, it's definitely a good sign. I'm just saying that I have enough doubts about Trey Sermon, and I think they should be brought up. I think there's a little bit too much love for the guy that hasn't played it down and is in a good system, and everyone seems to agree with the good system part, but no one agrees that there was any pieces there that could possibly get in his way, and it's totally Trey Sermon time. And I disagree. It could be Trey Sermon time in 2022 or at the end of this year. I just don't know. Like week one, like he's just running away with the job. I'm not there yet. I can be wrong. I probably will be wrong. Typically when I go this far the other direction, I am wrong.
Let's see. Let's let Dave chime in here. See where Dave has these fellows. Dave did mention he had Trey Sermon above Michael Carter before we hit record.
I actually just have to take a step back and just say I'm a little pissed off at you guys for making me have to take the stance that LaMichael Perine is going to have more work than Michael Carter.
I don't think that's crazy though. I was kind of
that's how I feel
about LaMichael Perine, but
that's how I when I did it out, I looked at, you know, people, Michael Carter, he is the new shiny toy. He definitely is going to have possibly more. Yeah. He is going to have probably, and I hate this for now too. You're making the vomit, faces for people who can't see, but
it's an emoji. It's an emoji.
Yeah. people are acting. Michael Carter's much better. They have the same draft capital. Michael Perine went to a better institution, better college pedigree, and better size. And it's just kind of crazy. And then honestly, the worst part is I have Tevin Coleman leading this freaking backfield. This is the most vomit inducing part of this whole thing. So I have them all kind of right around each other, but Tevin Coleman, it's not pretty, and that's the reason why I think Michael Carter could get more valuable touches. I don't know
if you hear this sizzling, but it's the crow I'm cooking for you for going all in on Tevin Coleman there.
It's bad, dude. It's bad. I'm not happy about it. It's just like how I made
a couple Tevin Coleman mistakes a couple years in a row though, and I feel like it's just asking to eat some crow,
dude. Oh, I do it every year.
I'm digging around to find LaMichael Perine and where he finished last year because I knew it was bad. I'm not trying to drop that, but I found Samaje Perine's name before I found LaMichael Perine's name.
Using RB finishes from the year before is a poor process.
I agree. That. And again, it wasn't the numbers. What I wanted to see was yards per carry. I just wanted to kind of just.
Oh my God.
Because I know that's your favorite statistic.
So taking a step back here, I actually.
He had 232 yards rushing last year. I mean, that's pretty good. Strong body of work.
I have actually Carter with 400 yards rushing with an extra game. So. I'm pretty down on Carter. Zooming out, that this Jets actually have a really wide range on this team because it's very interesting. The Jets have sucked forever, it feels like, but then on the same, they have a new coaching staff, a new quarterback who's a rookie, and that's a very interesting wide receiving core. And I feel like there's a wide range of outcomes for Zach Wilson overall, but they've improved the offensive line and they probably still gonna have a bad defense, right? So it's just a really interesting game. And then there's no solidified running back. So there's you could make vomit-inducing cases for everyone who could lead that backfield in touches. So I will say, though, I would have Michael Carter having more valuable touches than LaMichael Perine. So I think he'll finish with more fancy points, but just not as many touches overall and volume overall as LaMichael Perine. So that's me walking the fence there. But the thing with going back to Trey Sermon is I think that he probably is the best he could be the best all around running back in San Francisco. Do I think he's going to be like get used like that? Not necessarily, but I think there's a lot to like about Trey Sermon. There's a lot to like about in that offense, especially paired with a rushing quarterback. There's a lot to get excited about. And when we're talking about range of outcomes, it gets difficult for me to rush out to the best case scenario of Michael Carter on the Jets becoming Alvin Kamara than having Trey Sermon being a 1-2, like first and second down grinder on a good offense with a solid defense and overall good team. So that's why I lean Trey Sermon, but I have Javonte Williams over Trey Sermon.
And just to be clear, I'm Trey Sermon in Dynasty over Michael Carter, not even close.
Yeah.
But 2021, I could see it flipping. And if that happens, sell Michael Carter.
This gets it. I didn't think I was going to these running backs when Fenner was giving me the sell about how this gets interesting. My interest is now peaked after talking about LaMichael Perine.
Interest isn't peaked. I'm sick to my stomach. I did not know that we were going to talk about LaMichael Perine this much. This is like ridiculous.
So Dave, like RB what for Trey Sermon?
I think he's a low end I think he's an RB3, like a flex RB. But I think he's got some. It becomes a weekly game as the season goes on, because you're going to get the running back is a week to week game for me when I'm starting. So I think we could have the answers. You're going to have the answer by the time when you need it down the stretch. The answer will be there for Trey Sermon if he's going to be what you hoped if he hits it upside. That's kind of how I'm approaching it.
That's 800 yards.
I have him. No, I don't have him at 800 yards.
I have him at 6.
I have him just under.
I have him at 608.
608? How many touchdowns?
With that? Four. Four touchdowns. And he has another 171 yards in the air.
Oh, no. I do have him at 850.
And did he get any touchdowns through the air?
No.
So, I mean, that's close to 800 yards.
Yeah.
And, yep. I mean, that's good for RB27.
That depends on a lot of different things. Yeah. But yeah, maybe in a year where others don't do as well. Yeah. I don't know, like consistently where those numbers are.
Last year, JD McKissick was RB27.
Yeah. And what were his total yards? That's kind of like when you do numbers, like rankings, this is like, I don't know.
365 yards with one touchdown. And wow, 80 receptions on 110 targets, 589 yards, only three touchdowns on the season. So a lot of it was that PPR.
Yeah, 80 receptions. Was that 80 targets or 80 receptions?
80 receptions, 100
what targets. What the hell, dude?
110 targets, sorry. 110 targets, 80 receptions.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Wilson was RB28.
Yeah, yeah.
So what? I think Trey Sermon can do that.
All right, yeah, I'm gonna make an RB3.
Yes.
he's back.
Running backs we want to crap on before we move on?
No, dude, I have this whole little section called honorable mentions, and it has four letters after it.
It can't be. It can't be Ramondre Stevenson. I don't even want to butcher his name, but that's.
I'm glad you brought him up.
More than four letters. That's the only one that's on my head, though.
No, the four letters are N-O-N-E. None. No honorable mentions. I'm sure. Oh, Dave's got one.
Honestly, he is an honorable mention for me. He's getting buzz out of Patriots camp. A lot of beat writers have been saying, even the running back coach, Yvonne Fears, he's saying how he's playing the LeGarrette Blount role, but he's a much better receiver. So that. Whenever coaches start saying that a running back has better receiving ability than you'd expect, I hear that a lot. Honestly, we get disappointed a lot when we talk about, oh, he is better than you'd expect catch the ball, especially with James White capping him. But there's been a lot of buzz about Ramondre Stevenson in New England from beat writers and stuff. So I will say I stashed him in a couple places. I actually picked him over Elijah Mitchell one spot. Where I kind of regretted it right after this fact, but now I've backdoored into making a weird argument. I'm like, I like it.
I'm sure that was pretty late anyway.
I think he gets the Harris treatment.
Which year?
Harris's rookie year, barely played. I think he was a scratch almost the entire season. I think that's what they do over there.
The key is there's a lot of talk about Sony Michel being cut. If Sony Michel is cut, that's when it gets really interesting for Ramondre Stevenson, because it's going to be Harris, it's going to be James White, and then what?
Yeah.
That would help. That's a question.
The quarterbacks. Finero, I saw you put out a poll today. You hate Trey Sermon. Do you also hate Trey Lance? You put up a poll today asking when Trey Lance would start with Jimmy G on the team, and does Trey Lance start week one? Does it go into the season? Is it 2022? Do you just hate the 49ers?
No, I was a little disappointed with the poll results. I put two polls up, one for Trey Lance and one for Mac Jones, two guys that I'm not positive are going to start week one. I think most people think that Mac Jones is the one that'll have the least amount of starts this season, but I don't know. I think everyone also saw those Cam Newton throws way over players' heads while Mac Jones is thrown right alongside of him and hitting every player. But that being said, the reason I was kind of like bummed out is everyone kind of took the easy way out. Everyone picked after the bye week. Mac Jones after bye week 10. Trey Lance after bye week 6.
I wasn't everybody, just so you know.
40% picked Trey Lance and 36.5, so the majority. Right behind, actually, for Mac Jones, to your point, Swags, was 32% to 36 that he doesn't play.
Okay.
And then the closest for Trey Lance was less games than Jimmy G, which I was a little surprised by that.
So how do you feel?
I think there was a comment, and I'll actually call the person out because I actually liked the comment. It actually changed my opinion a little bit. Of course, now I can't find it. Hold on. But anyway, if Jimmy is – this is from Sergeant Smash at Sick Neba. If Jimmy is healthy, that means the 49ers are in position for a playoff spot. Why mess with success? Lance is there for the future. I always had – because as soon as the 49ers picked Trey Lance, I had him starting pretty damn close to week one. I thought there might be like a couple like throwaway games just to kind of give Jimmy G his due. You know, one or two. I'm still closer to that than I am to waiting until after the bye, and I'm nowhere near, less games than Jimmy G. I think Trey Lance does start sooner than later. That bye week, as I was just kind of criticizing, does seem like a comfy spot if they really want to give Jimmy G a little rope. But I mean, I could play devil's advocate on Sergeant Smash's comments here and just say, if he's the future, why not start now? They really like him.
And I mean, also, like, we've seen spurts where Nick Mullins looked better than
great point.
Jimmy G, and Nick Mullins isn't even on an NFL team right now. Yep. We've seen spurts where CJ Beathard looked better than Jimmy G, and he's now the third stringer on the Jags.
Yep.
You know, so I mean, does Jimmy G give him that much better of a chance? Or I mean, he looks good on a GQ cover. But is that what this is? Like, if he wasn't traded from the Patriots, would we be hanging on to this Jimmy Garoppolo love so long?
Yeah, no, I'm where are you guys at with Trey Lance starting? I mean, I have him probably before the bye week. I think maybe Jimmy G plays 2 or 3 weeks.
I think the 49ers are probably going to try at some point to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they regret not taking less from the Patriots before the Patriots moved up to take Mac Jones, because I think they were trying to play. It was like that team that was trying to get too much, showed their cards, and then the Patriots were like, well, screw it. We're going to take care of it a different way then, because we want a quarterback. And I think that was their best opportunity to get rid of Jimmy G, and after that went away, they had to kind of reel it back in and use a different task, because that's what I really truly believe. I think that they'll probably try to see who needs a quarterback at the end of the day here, whether it's Green Bay, Denver, the Texans, and try to make some kind of play. I think Trey Lance starts week one. Obviously a lot has to happen with that, but I think that we see Trey Lance very early in the season. That's where I'm at.
That, I think you really summed up a lot about how I feel as well, Swags. I will just add though, if Jimmy G is on the team for opening day, I think he'll be the starter, just because you don't want to have everything else is going. You know what happened with Tua last year, essentially. You don't want to have people whispering about the veteran who can take this team that people think has a lot of pieces to compete. You know, you get Detroit week one. If Jimmy G throws up over himself against Detroit, that's a problem.
Well, Yeah. Not only that, but they will set that offense up for Jimmy G to succeed because he's still going to be the trade chip that they're showcasing.
Yep. So it's just, it's interesting. I just think with the way that they're set up in San Francisco, you do not just draft someone at three for the future. I just don't, because that team is built on defense. It's built on offense to win. Now, I don't understand why you just invest all that capital just for the future. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And people want to say, oh, Kyle Shanahan's this amazing coach. You look at that record in San Francisco. I think he has a job up beyond this year, but if they suck again, are we positive that Kyle Shanahan's the coach? He just does not have a good record as people think that he has. There is some pressure on him, and say, as much pressure that San Francisco can give Kyle Shanahan out there. But I've heard several beat reporters giving him a little bit of heat in San Francisco. So let's just say they need to win, especially the way they have built that team.
So Mac Jones, I think that Mac Jones also starts week one, Finero and Dave, but going back to what you said about Cam and how those throws look, and just, you look at that contract, they have no reason to keep him really, unless he's going to be a mentor. And then once if they get further into the playoffs with Cam, they have to pay him more for absolutely no reason at all. So I think he could be a cut candidate.
Oh my God, dude. Like every single day, changed my mind on this one. The Mac Jones one is tough. If you start the season with Cam Newton, isn't it hard to go to Mac Jones after that? I mean, they're just two totally different players. You know, you're asking,
That's a good point. Yeah.
And then if you go the other way, it's the same problem. Like if Mac Jones struggles, they're not gonna pull him after week one, right? So they're gonna leave him in for four or five games, and then bring Cam Newton in. Now you're asking everybody in the offense to totally change it to a player. They're two polar opposite players. I just don't know. I feel like I'm leaning your way though, Swags. I feel like Cam Newton is just, he didn't look good last year at all. They don't have any money invested in him.
No.
And honestly, when everyone thought that San Francisco was going to draft Mac Jones, everybody thought Mac Jones was the most ready quarterback of this group. So because he goes to New England, he's all of a sudden not ready. He's not ready. I know that offense is more complicated. Maybe not more complicated. I know that offense is complicated, but I don't know, man. Cam Newton just seems like a flop. And I don't think that New England did everything they did this offseason to just tank. And I don't think that's really in their DNA to do so. I think they hated last year. So yeah, I guess if I had to pick one or the other, I'm going to probably pick Mac Jones week one, to be honest. And he certainly isn't getting drafted that way.
No, not at all.
It'd be tough for me to see it just because there's all kinds of all of the weapons they brought in on that team. They've got two new tight ends. They've all new wide receivers. There's a lot of new faces in New England, and they all need to learn that offense. And to expect a rookie quarterback to lead a brand new, lead all these people who might not have a full grasp of the offense and tell them where to line up and just lead that team and be the leader that they need, that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels requires, I'm skeptical about, because I do not believe that Bill Belichick does not just compliment his players just for no reason. When he tells that he likes a player on the team, he likes him, and he has gone above and beyond how much he likes Cam Newton. Now, do I think that means that Cam Newton is the quarterback for the whole season? No, I do not think that, but I think that Cam Newton gives this team the best chance to win, especially with this defense, because there's still some decent pieces on this defense now. I think Cam Newton gives this team best to win early on. And then if the experiment goes wrong with Cam Newton, that's when you can then go to the veteran go to the rookie and say, okay, there's less pressure on you for Cam Newton breathing over your shoulder.
Okay. Yeah. So, and I like where you went, and it's not like, I don't disagree with the idea of that veteran presence being good for some of the new guys on the team. But then do you really want all those guys to instill all of their trust and everything and put it all into Cam Newton? And now, is it easier for Mac Jones now that that team's been dependent on Cam, and you're learning now that you have to either take your old quarterbacks back or you have to take your new quarterbacks back, and that it's a whole different kind of pressure? Like, why not just give all the new guys to the new guy?
I hear what you're saying. There's definitely an argument, a flip side that you can make. However, I think that even when Julio Jones was talking about Cam Newton, Cam Newton still has a name in this league. Players like Cam Newton, especially veterans.
Cam Newton seems cool.
I like him too personally. So I am a little biased, and I don't like Mac Jones much. So I am personally biased. I will say that I just think that you do not in a locker room and if a rookie's struggling, especially these veterans who came to New England to win, they came to get paid too, but come to win and that rookie to come with that rookie struggling. And then you can in the back of their head, you're saying, well, how come we didn't go with Cam Newton, the guy who's done it in this league?
I have a question, guys. So we've had a top 10 quarterback come out of a rookie class 2 years in a row. Do we have it a third year in a row? Justin Herbert last year finishes QB9 the year before Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I think we do. I think we do. Yeah.
And who is it?
I mean, if I had to gamble, I'd probably say, man, it's hard to even at the tip of my tongue. I'd rank it Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Mac Jones.
I just have Wilson and Fields flipped. I still have Fields too.
Yeah, and dude, I don't hate that either. And all signs are looking good for him in camp too. So
it's just the rushing. That's the reason. That's the reason I went there. And I know Wilson's mobile, but he's just not. He's not going to take off like Fields is.
I drafted Trevor Lawrence today, 8 overall in a 32 team one quarterback league. You have to start one quarterback, but you're only allowed to own two quarterbacks.
Oof.
And my quarterbacks were Andy Dalton and Nick Foles. So I had to drop Nick Foles to draft Trevor Lawrence, who obviously was the first quarterback taken off the board. So as you guys know from doing this show, I mean, I was looking at like the Moores and Waddle was the guy that I would have drafted. All the running backs were gone.
Swags, I got to ask you a question. I'm sorry. Was dropping Foles and picking up Trevor Lawrence better than sex?
It was pretty decent. Yeah, you know, but
I know. I can't believe really, you have Foles on a team.
Did really release a load. Well, I had I forget the combo that I had last year. So it made sense because with the rules, I mean, you can only own two.
Yeah,
there's a team. So you can have two starters if you get lucky, and then you don't have a quarterback, which is the way I was starting to look this year.
Yeah.
And so I almost think you almost have to look at this league as a weird super flex league in a way. So I took that's my one and only share of Trevor Lawrence.
Feels kind of 8 overall
in a rookie draft. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. In a rookie draft, he lasted till 8.
One QB.
Wow.
One QB, but 32 teams.
That doesn't. Wow. I'm surprised.
Yep. And he was the first quarterback taken off.
Well, remember, you could only roster two. So, right. So there's probably people that are probably, well, actually 32 teams.
Yeah. So 64 quarterbacks.
Yeah. I'm actually a little surprised too.
But then there's running backs. Think about it. There's no running backs out on the waiver wire at all, probably.
So that's true.
And we start one quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, a tight end, and I think we have one flex, and then it goes into IDP the same way.
Mm.
So it's not, we don't like just start like one running back or two wide receivers. We're starting three wide, dude. Some of the players you're starting are so ugly at this point. I'm lucky. Like I have Derrick Henry and DeAndre Swift. This is the league that I traded away CEH straight up to get Swift and caught all the heat. And the league with 31 other teams was just as hard on me as Twitter. It was ridiculous. So, but it's that same league. But yeah, 32 teams. It's nuts.
So just going back to the question, do we have a top 10 quarterback or do we have a QB1 in this class?
I said top 10.
Top 10. Okay. For me, it comes back to how many games. Yeah, how many games does Trey Lance start is the answer, because I have Trey Lance having the most fantasy points per game, and I have Trevor Lawrence per game. So that, but you know, per game I have the most, but it just comes to how he starts, so yeah, that's how it comes down to me. So, but I have Trevor Lawrence scoring more, and he's just outside my top I think he's not a QB1 for me this season. I have Fields doing very well as well, but not a QB1. But I have him actually, I think I have Fields starting by like week 3. So it's actually, if you guys look at the schedule for the Bears, there's not an obvious place for where to start Fields that make like an obvious, oh, this is where he'd take over. So it almost makes me think that Fields starts day one.
There's definitely an obvious place. It's week 1.
I think Fields starts week 1.
Yeah, that's how you have to do it.
Because like I said, I had Dalton in that other league and I didn't even look at him as a starter. Not even kind of. So I'll wait and see who drafts Justin Fields and see if they were in the same situation as me. And then really like Dalton will have a certain amount of value to that team. And I'll be going after like Gardner as my backup, because I'd rather have my quarterback insured, but you're going to have a bye week with no quarterback in unless you're one of those teams that has two starters. And then those quarterbacks are so tough to pry from those teams.
Yeah. Good luck,
dude. I mean, you start like, you'll see.
Is that league fun? Like, I don't know.
Goodwin. It has, it has good and bad. Like I've paid out in it. I've gotten like third place, you know, so that year was kind of fun. It's not the funnest league, Finero. I like it that it's not double copy. They tried to vote that league into double copy and it was voted down. So that made me happy. I would rather have it the way it is than be double copy. It's an interesting challenge, dude, you know, but it is one of the leagues that has been also a little bit challenging to stay excited about.
Yeah, I bet.
So that's how I feel. But yeah, I think Trevor Lawrence can finish as a top 10. He's the only one that I would put there, but I think all these guys can be like top 20 quarterbacks. And I know some people like looking at their one quarterback leagues, you know, they're like, eh, but still like once you get to a certain point in this year's class, like even in a one quarterback format, I'm fine taking some of these guys over some of the other talents. I think they'll last longer on your dynasty teams.
Isn't the Trey Sermon's point like it's like once Trey Sermon's off the board, essentially?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
I have a rookie draft coming up. I know it's late, but I have the only two quarterbacks I have on that team. It's a single quarterback, so I know that's rare for you too, but I only have Rodgers and Watson on that team. So I'm like, I'm gonna wind up with one of these rookies. Because
where do you pick?
I was 11th. So
I think Rodgers will start this year.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right.
I do. I have no insider take or anything, but
I'm just like, just owning just those two guys and like literally nothing after that. It's just like, wow, I think, do I have a starting quarterback at all this season?
Listen, I'll be honest. Okay. And I know Aaron Rodgers is never going to hear this, but if you're going to retire, just fucking man up and do it. he's going to play.
I love it. I heard the one thing I did hear, and it feels like everything's a contradiction out there, is that he, I think a teammate, oh no, it wasn't an ex-teammate, Jones, James Jones, like they're buds, right? He said that he'll show up to training camp.
Yeah, I think he'll be there.
Yeah.
He's having fun. Weird midlife crisis, ain't out hanging out with people 20 years younger than him, partying, looked fun.
That's what he's doing?
These top quarterbacks who are this close to becoming all-time greats, I think there's part of them that they don't want to miss time, because I think Aaron Rodgers knows that, you know, if he has a couple more good seasons, he can be in that upper tier forever. Whereas if he, like, that legacy will hang over his head if he ever quits early. I think that's how those top guys work, but I could be wrong.
And he's never going to be better than Alex Trebek.
Yeah, no. True story. Never, ever, never.
Speaking of top guys, I do have Trevor Lawrence just outside the top 10, but still an RB1 at QB1 at QB11. So we all have them pretty close, I think.
Yeah, I feel like just like through random conversation, we've touched on a lot of these quarterbacks outside of Zach Wilson. I don't feel like we've talked a lot about him. I know that you said where you had him, but I mean,
you know what the best thing about Zach Williams?
About Elijah Moore.
Yeah.
Corey Davis is looking decent in camp. Yep. I'm kind of excited about Zach Wilson.
He plays all 17. No. James Morgan and Mike White are the two quarterbacks behind him, which is kind of scary, actually, for Zach Wilson.
Oh, wow.
Hope he stays healthy. Wow.
Yeah.
James Morgan, wasn't he a rookie last year? I want to say Seattle had James Morgan. that sound right? Yeah, but
it might be. Yeah, yeah.
Zach Wilson's another one of those guys.
Anthony Gordon.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I got Gordon Morgan. I don't know. But Zach
too, Finero.
So Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson's got. He's got all 17 starts. So I feel pretty confident about that. Just about as confident as Trevor Lawrence starting all 7. And he's sneaky. He's got some sneaky mobility as well. So I could see him giving you some yards on the ground. So it's all about, you know, what kind of New York Jets stank is still on you to be like, you know, if you're in on Zach Wilson or not. I passed up Zach Wilson in a couple rookie drafts with an opportunity. So I'll probably be wrong because I passed up on him. But
what do you mean passed up? Like you took Justin Fields over Zach Wilson?
They're different scenarios. Both of them were crazy different scenarios. Like one was a one QB league and Zach Wilson was a much bigger name. There was another one where I had a choice. And I think it was probably, I mean, everyone's going Fields, Lance, and Lawrence over Wilson, right?
Most of the time, yeah. I've seen one where Zach Wilson went 101 early on.
I think the other one was just a probably just one of those eliminators that we're all a part of. It's probably just one of those where I picked a vet over Wilson, and I kind of wanted to go Wilson because in those eliminators I love going for the young guys. I don't know why.
I have a ton of in those.
It's telling because it's a redraft format.
T.Y. Hilton.
Really nice because you're getting
them in all of those, like any best ball, any eliminator, like he's just always down there. And you guys have drafted with me, so you know I'm always looking for some wide receivers late because I do need them. And in a best ball format, to see T.Y. Hilton at the end of my drafts, I'm just kind of like, huh, like is he going to be really outscored by anybody on that team this year? I mean, and it could happen. I know we've got some hopes for some of these young guys, but I haven't seen it yet. Like T.Y. Hilton's going to be the number one wide receiver on that team. And for the bargain in these redraft formats, I can't get enough of it.
Yeah. I mean, he had
when he plays.
He had a crazy stretch at the end of last season. I'm looking at, I want to say this is like week 12, 18 PPR points, 25 PPR points, 25 PPR points, 12, 9, 13. But I think what people were remembering is that he was relatively healthy all season long. He only missed one game and a lot of single digit points.
Well, now he's got Carson Wentz.
Yeah, no. And you know, I like Carson Wentz in that situation. No doubt, but and where you're getting them, dude, no one's going to argue with you. Yeah. No one's going to argue.
That's not dynasty.
I might argue that he'll be the wide receiver one in fantasy points on that team. I might argue with that, but I'm not going to argue where you're getting them, dude. Where you're getting them. Sammy
Watkins outscores Rashad Bateman this year.
I saw that tweet. Oh, by the way, dude, I'm going to have to go back and look. You don't happen to recall what we're on the board for, do you? Because I felt really good about that. I'll go back and listen. One of our listeners will tell us for me, so I don't have to go back and listen. What was that? What was that claim Swags made that this wide receiver is going to score more than this wide receiver was so confident that put it was on it the last board.
Week? Man, yeah, last week.
Tyler Boyd.
I listened to some really stupid shit listening back to me last week.
I thought of it just the other day. I want to remember what that is because I felt really strong. Like you and I was have it done
Waddle
this.
Versus Bateman or
no? It was same team, I think. I'll listen back.
I thought it was Boyd, but I can't remember.
I'll listen back. I don't think it was Boyd either.
All right. I'll have to listen to that too. Now I'm interested.
Just to kind of wrap up these QBs too, guys, I'll just say that I have four QBs scoring over 15 fantasy points per game, and Zach Wilson is one of them. I think even if things don't go well in New York, I think there's lots of fantasy value to be had for Zach Wilson. He's a value at 109, 110 in rookie drafts and super flex drafts because that's where he's going at times. There's just so many. There's a ton of weapons. Jameson Crowder's back now. That there's 4 to 5 weapons that I really get excited about in just the wide receiver room for them. And like Finero said, there's some rushing upside. I think he gets some decaf in him where he's going to rush some in as well. It just comes down to what kind of New York Jets we're going to get here. We have to remember that I don't think it's going to be a high volume. Like, I don't think it's going to be a high paced, fast paced offense because there's going to be that Shanahan. I think it's LaFleur is coming in, right? With LaFleur is the offensive coordinator with with it's the LaFleur brother, I thought, with Shanahan, the like Shanahan S play style. So I just think it's a lower volume offense. But so it's not very high paced, but there's still there. It's I'm excited to see where I'm even as a Pats fan, I'm kind of excited to see what can happen with the Jets, because I like what Joe, I think it's Joe Douglas, is doing as GM, because I think he's making some right moves and solidifying the offensive line and doing adding pieces on offense. So I'm a lot higher on Zach Wilson than I was at the start of the rookie process.
Do we see Davis Mills start in 2021? Nobody's talking.
Who else do they have besides Tyrod Taylor? Tyrod Taylor starts. Who else do they have besides Tyrod Taylor?
Deshaun Watson. Being serious, I'm not convinced that he's suspended. I think that legal process can get funky. You appeal it. It's June. We're mid June right now.
Take him back after the way it started before he got
in. He doesn't want to play there.
He's on the team right now.
Don't forget where we were at before the legal troubles. So I think that's really important for this particular situation. There were more than legal troubles. There was a they have some relationship issues that I don't think that they've been able to. I mean, if it's just real shit, man, and I don't want to like make light of this or joke, but I mean, they really had some issues. Then we get into this domestic situation that he has going on with numerous people, and he has unsettled business with them still that will probably never get fixed. If he doesn't get suspended, there has to be a trade, in my opinion, Dave. And I don't know if that's where you're going with this, but I don't see him as a Texan personally.
I just say it's hard. It's just hard at the further we get in the offseason, it gets tougher and tougher to trade a QB because you got to change your whole, it's tough to get a quarterback, like a new quarterback in mid August. You know what I'm trying to say? Like when you're starting games here to get your quarterback up to speed, he probably doesn't play for the Houston Texans ever again, but these problems were happening, when I say problems, the relationship issues with the team were happening. Nick Caserio was saying, I came to this team with Deshaun Watson as my quarterback. We want Deshaun Watson as our quarterback. And they were really firm about this throughout the process. So,
yeah, but both sides in a relationship have to make that happen.
100%.
How about this? So New England decides Mac Jones is our guy. He shows in training camp, looks great. They get rid of Cam Newton. Cam Newton starts for the Houston Texans.
I'd rather see Tyrod Taylor.
I would too, but couldn't you see that play out?
Probably from the Texans.
Jimmy Garoppolo before Cam Newton.
I could actually see that.
I agree with that.
Jimmy
G going there. Good point. Like something like that.
Yeah.
I think that if it gets to the situation where we know that Deshaun Watson isn't going traded or going to get in trouble, or even if we know some of the legal outcomes of that, then teams will show what they're willing to pay for Deshaun Watson. Yeah. I just don't think that I don't think that they're going to mind what time of year it is. They may not be able to implicate him into their offense as quickly, but I think once a team that needs a future quarterback, because he's only 25.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Once a team realizes what they can get him for and what the actual situation is going to be, I think you'll see some teams trying to make a move on for him, even if it's for their future. But I don't think he'll be on the Texans. I just can't see it working out. So let's assume for this conversation that that's true.
Okay, that's fair. Assuming that.
Do we see Davis Mills start this year?
I don't think so. I could see Tyrod Taylor playing for the season if healthy.
It's tough to see the Texans who are going nowhere to not at least give some kind of
at the end of the season.
Especially in a 17-game season. Tyrod was last time Tyrod Taylor made it through the entire season in one piece. I mean, I know last year it wasn't necessarily his fault, but he's a mobile quarterback. That's a bad offensive line. That's a bad team. He's going to be able to stay healthy with those weapons for that time frame. I mean, I'd think that Davis Mills gets something, even if it isn't a showcase point, just to see what the Texans can do moving forward. Because they've got to, before the Texans do anything and advance that offense, they've got to find a quarterback of the future. And
yeah, I think that's a fair argument. I would agree with that point. And that's, I think, even an argument we've probably made like here in the past. So to not think of it that way, I think is kind of silly of me. But yeah, I think that at some point they'll have to give him an opportunity to see what kind of quarterback they have in him. And if they need to be looking into the future, especially assuming that Watson isn't part of their future. And the camp sounds kind of decent. Like I've heard some player buzz and Hopkins seems like he, or Brandon Cooks, Hopkins,
same thing.
Yeah. Very similar.
Brandon Cooks seems like he said some decent things about Davis Mills, but I think that Tyrod Taylor is the starter week one.
Yeah. I think you guys have moved me. I think you're right. I think they want to see what they have in Mills. So I could see them giving him a shot towards the end of the season.
I will say I've paid like some third and fourth round picks for Tyrod Taylor in super flex leagues.
Yeah, I believe it.
Where I feel like I need a quarterback, or where I drafted Davis Mills in the late second or early third. I'm like, oh, maybe I want the starter too. But Finero, you mentioned you might want to do a Kyle Trask drive-by.
I was kind of teasing about the Kyle Trask drive-by. I felt like that was like about analogous. That was analogous to maybe the drive-by we did last week. But yeah, I mean, I have Kyle Trask in a couple different places. You know, I think he's a nice stash. And I think I also have heard some pretty good camp buzz about Trask as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Brady can, I know we've been saying this for a long, long time, but Brady probably is not playing into his 50s. So
yeah,
I think he's got a shot. I think he's got a shot there. I think it's not something you're going to see for probably two full years. That's the concern. But if he's valuable back there and they know it, they'll stick with him.
Yeah, I agree. And then like, and if Brady gets injured.
Yeah, you never know. Yep.
Never know. Mr. Feverish, I think you should do the final thoughts.
Yeah, I actually gave this some thought, and it's something that we don't ask our listeners.
Okay, so let's have somebody else do it. What were you going to say? It's priceless. I wish you were all with us.
You want to know what I have to say now? Is that you sure about that? Dave, do you want to close?
I just remember that Finero pulled some punches early about messing with Swags off air, and he didn't do it, and he felt guilty that he thought about doing it, and then Swags just went there.
I was so ready for final thoughts because you did them last week that it didn't give him the little rush he was looking for.
So what were
I'm supposed to thought? Panic right now. So what I was going to say, I was going to speak to our listeners and ask you a favor, something that we haven't asked you in a long time because we don't think to do this because we're just glad you listen. And I just would love if you took just a couple of minutes to rate and review us. iTunes is the best place to do it. If it's not 5 stars, give us whatever you want. I just want to see a little bit of feedback in there. We have been getting a ton of traction, especially after those player profiles. I've really enjoyed it. People have reached out to me, said how much they love the show. It means a lot to me to hear that, but what would mean even more is if you could put it in writing. Please just rate and review the show. If you could, it would mean a lot to me. I think it would mean a lot to these guys. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and it's not as easy as it looks, guys. So it'd be nice to get a little bit more of that feedback from you. And I would really appreciate it.
Love it.
Love it, Finero. And I will say on the 200th episode, if people DM me a screenshot of rating and reviewing Rookie Fever, they'll be entered into a contest to win a free copy of my NFL database. So there we go.
Oh, nice.
So nothing. I mean, that's going to really break the bank for a lot of people, but just takes 2 minutes, less 1 minute to do it, and just a little incentive there.
Absolutely, man. It makes it a little bit more fun. And I love it, Finero. I think those are some great final thoughts. Don't usually do this, but I want to add to it.
Go for it.
With everything Finero said, I mean, truly, like, thank you for choosing us as your destination because it means a lot. And we do have a lot of fun doing this. And like Finero said, it is work. We put a lot into this, but it's fun work and you all help make it much more worth the time, man. I enjoy this ride.
I agree.
I am at Swagzilla0G. Find this at Rookie Fever. One of them is at Artbark TV. That is your feverish Finero. At Dave Wright is not at Dave Wright. He is at @F_spaceman. We're out of here.
Guys, I've been struggling. Yeah, I've been struggling with the decision. Do you guys think it's time to shake up the intro, or do we keep it? I really like the way it is now, but
I love it. So
I'm always down for new intros. I think you wait. We've got some new rookies coming, and you never know. You never know what we might shake up.
Yeah, maybe we ride this out the whole off season, and then we hit something new with these guys after we see what they got.
It's an exciting first couple of weeks. We're going to probably have a lot of good drops after the first couple of weeks.